14, he goes into a dialogue with the disciples. Jesus is talking about spiritual leaven. The disciples are worried that he's talking about the fact that they have just been through this great miracle. 7 baskets full of food, and they didn't bring any with them. The disciples thought it was because they didn't bring any food. Jesus was talking about the spiritual condition of the heart. And then we come to verse number 22 this morning. The Bible says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him." There's a lot in that verse, but on first reading, first look, it doesn't seem out of the ordinary. This has happened before. People bring sick, lame, demon-possessed, whatever the case might be, they bring people to Jesus. Verse 23, "And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked that he saw." That's where it gets a little unusual. Amen? He asked if he saw aught. And verse 24, "And he," the man, the blind man, "looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town." Heavenly Father, we thank you for these few moments together. May your word go forth clearly. Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing this morning. You can be seated. Reading a story this week, boy, and the author used this story to talk about a man named George Shearing. He was a jazz pianist, and he was blind from his birth. He composed over 300 pieces of music and traveled relentlessly throughout his career. He was often found, Mr. Shearing, was a blind man, was often found in busy downtown areas, navigating crowded sidewalks with his dark glasses and his white cane. On one occasion, he was at a busy intersection at rush hour, waiting for help and crossing the street. Finally, someone tapped him on the shoulder, and what he heard next was not an offer of help, but a request. The request was this: "Excuse me, sir." A stranger said to Mr. Shearing, "Would you mind helping a blind man cross the street?" Mr. Shearing was about to tell the other man that he too was blind, but then he thought, why not give it a go? So Mr. Shearing said, "Certainly, my friend, here, take my arm." And the two men set off across the street together, literally the blind leading the blind. As you can imagine, he recalls hearing many unnerving sounds as they crossed the street: tires screeching, horns honking, angry voices. But they made it safely across the street. And later, Mr. Shearing recalled the incident and said, "I'll never do it again, but I'm glad I did it once." He said, "It was the biggest thrill of my life." Wow! I couldn't help it. Yeah, that was our text today. Introduces us to another blind man who was about to receive the biggest thrill of his life. Even bigger than crossing a busy intersection, he is about to experience a miracle. And just for your information, this is another one of those miracles that we only find in the book of Mark. And it's under my goal to add to the text, because then you get out of context. And so when Mark tells us of this miracle, and he's the only one of the Gospels that tells us of this miracle, I'll need you to follow along really, really specifically, because all the information we have about this miracle, Mark gives us. Okay? Sounds like that one over. Jesus, the Bible says, has returned to Bethsaida, which means fish, is a fishing town. It means house of fish. And it was a town many of the disciples no doubt knew about. Working, it was a fishing town. And it was where he had kind of set up at some would say the center of his ministry, where he would always revert back to this area in Capernaum. And he'd been there, he'd been here in the Seder following the feeding of the 5,000. He'd been here the stormy night when he walked on the water. And during his previous visit, he healed many who were sick and afflicted. Now he's returned. And as we've seen before, if you've read your Bible at all in the Gospels, people brought a man to Jesus to heal him. This isn't a random occurrence. something that hasn't happened through the Lord already. However, there's more going on here than meets the eye, I believe. And like all of Christ's miracles, this miracle is for this blind man, yes. It's for those that brought the blind man to Jesus, yes, I believe that. But I also believe that just as much as it's to benefit this blind man, just as much as it is to benefit his friend, this miracle was for the sake of the disciples as much as anyone else. And one writer called Jesus' miracles, and I really like this statement, I wish I'd thought of it myself, but he calls Jesus' miracles parables in action. Parables in action. He's just reminding us that Jesus wasn't just trying to teach the disciples only when he gave a parable. Jesus' life was constantly teaching his disciples. They were expected to be followers of Jesus. They were expected to know his living, his lifestyle, his interaction with people. And he's been trying to teach his disciples, his followers, that he is the Messiah, the ones the Jews had waited for. He is God in the flesh, so that Gentiles didn't need to wait or search for any other false gods, but Jesus is God. He was trying to teach that. Well, we find that the disciples struggled with that message, even up until Jesus rose from the dead. And this miracle, I believe, reveals the way that God opens the eyes of the spiritually blind. Teaches us how that God is able to take someone who can't understand spiritual truth, and how he patiently works and draws them step by step to a place where they can understand the Word of God and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this man pictures for us a man that is spiritually blind. And so I begin this morning by asking, how is your spiritual sight this morning? Is it as sharp as it should be? Is the Lord in clear focus in your heart and your life today? Do you know who he is? Do you understand what he's doing and what he wants to do in your life? Perhaps maybe this morning you're saved, but you've come to the point where the Word of God, if you even read it, and church doesn't move you anymore. And the church has become a cold routine, and you haven't read your Bible in a long time. You haven't prayed in a long time. There's some, perhaps, that are in the same condition as this blind man. His was a critical case. He was in dire situation. Let's understand some things as we think about this man's blindness this morning. In Scripture, not all blindness is the same. Would you nod your heads in agreement with that? Not all blindness is the same. You know, some were born blind. Some weren't blind. I believe this man, because of the description that we get of his blindness, this happened to him because he went through some kind of a sickness or disease as a child, and this is a lingering effect in his life. Not all blindness is the same. Not all blindness means total darkness. And not all are born blind. I think we must understand that this was a deteriorating condition. There are some clues that let us know that this man had not always been blind. He had not always been blind. Look in your Bibles, verse 24. There were some things in his statement that he recognized. He said, "I see men." How would he have known what men and that man looked like had he not at one time been able to see them? He said, I see men. You know what he saw them that they looked like? Trees. Why would he use the word trees? Unless he had known what a tree looked like. Right? Follow me along here. I need to follow me along, right? And he says, I see them as trees. And then what are they doing? Walking. I think that gives us a very clear indication that this man had been blind his whole life, and he wasn't completely blind yet. The word blind here in our text that the Holy Spirit used, the Apostle Mark to use, the word blind here means opaque. It means murky. It means cloudy or smoky. smoking. And I believe that based on this condition, and this condition caused his eyes, as they were deteriorating, to ooze and to become matted shut. We'll see that in just a second. You see, as the disease grew worse, he stopped caring for his eyes. But he at one time could see. He had a deteriorating condition. I believe, though, that he had some determined companions. We can see in that word where it says that they besought Jesus, we see a couple different things that from their actions, that this healing that they were requesting was necessary. And they were urgent in their beseeching, and they're finding a way for their friend to be healed. That word besought means to call near, to invite or to invoke, to implore, or to call for, to call out. They were calling Jesus. It was necessary. Some friends recognized this man's condition. They cared for him. They heard that Jesus was in town and brought this man to Jesus. And I think that reminds us not only was it a critical condition, but they found a capable Christ. Amen? Amen. I believe that Jesus works on individuals in individual ways. I don't think necessarily that he works in our lives in exactly the same way. We all are saved the same way. Amen? By grace and saved through faith. It's not some mystical form of salvation for each and every one of us. No, the Bible gives us a clear picture on how you're saved. By grace that you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans tells us that we're all born sinners. We all need a Savior. We all have that in common. And we're all saved the same way. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But I believe when Jesus brings us to that point of salvation, when Jesus brings the wanderer back to him, he often can use different methods for each of us. We see that in Jesus' ministry. There were three different people that he raised from the dead. Each of them was different. He touched Jairus' daughter and raised her from the dead. With the widow of Nain's son, he simply touched the casket that the body was in, and the son was revived. And if you remember in John chapter 11, he simply spoke, and Lazarus came forth. His healing ministries were different. He healed one leper by touching him. He healed a group of 10 lepers by speaking to them. Sometimes Jesus would go to where the sick was, and other times they brought the sick to him. Sometimes Jesus would touch the sick. Other times he would speak. There were times where he didn't go to where they were, and he would heal from a great different distance. I understand Jesus works on an individual way. How it worked in my life is different than how it worked in yours. You're special to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that. But look what Jesus does. Jesus takes this man by the hand and leads him out of town, just as he did with the deaf man and the mute man in chapter 7. He leads this man to a place away from the crowds. And if you'll picture it be in your mind as they begin their journey, the Bible says, it tells us in verse number 23 that Jesus took him by the hand and begins to lead him out of town. And I can imagine Jesus leading him around obstacles and through town and around doorways and carts and livestock. And I can almost hear the conversation as Jesus leads this poor man along one step at a time, all the while holding his hand. And I believe Jesus had to separate this man from those in town. He had to re-rep this man. Because if you know your Bible, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus had already pronounced woe on the town of Bethsaida. He said, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago and sat up and ashes. Jesus separated and re-repped this man from town because Bethsaida had experienced many miracles and yet refused Jesus as the Christ. You see, denying the Lord Jesus Christ, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, comes at a great cost. And it gives us a picture that though society in this town had rejected Christ, Jesus was still willing to save the individual. He still saw individuals as important. He's reminding us, though, that denying the Lord Jesus Christ comes at a great cost. It's a dangerous thing to experience the power of the Lord, the leading of the Lord, and then to reject him. As Jesus begins, there's an examination time. Jesus begins on me. In certain cases of blindness, and I believe that's the picture that we're getting here, when Jesus addressed the issue, the eyes would, whether it was a disease or was an infection, would begin to secrete mucus, and the eye would become gummed or matted shut. And what Jesus is doing here with his saliva, I don't believe it was anything. I don't think there was it was a spiritual baptism or anything like that. I think Jesus was using his saliva practically to open this man's physical eyes. You see where I'm going? Are we all together still? Okay. He was using the saliva to separate the eyelids. Jesus knew what he was doing. He revealed this man's condition. It was a deteriorating condition. And he was using the moisture, the liquid, the saliva to loosen the eyes that had been matted shut, that had been crusted over. He's presenting the man with his true condition. He was blind and it wasn't getting any better. He was not as he once was. His eyes were not as they once were. His vision was decaying and would continue to decay. We can think of that picture, that image of Jesus spitting on the man. And people thought differently in ancient biblical times than we do now. They thought, they believed there was healing qualities in the saliva. And we kind of do too. If you smash your thumb or cut your finger, what's the first thing you do with it? Ow! Right in the mouth. So Jesus, he performs this. He spits on him and he touches the man. He was saying to this man by his actions, I'm about to do something for these eyes of yours. This man couldn't see what was going on, but he certainly could feel what was going on. What was working in a way that was not humanly natural. Then Jesus asked him to look up to see if he sees anything. He says, I see men as trees walking among. Remember, this tells us that this man hadn't always been blind. He was able to identify shapes, that there were people around him. He could discern light, but he couldn't see. This doesn't suggest, as some commentators like to imply, that the healing powers of Jesus were failing. There are actually those commentators that would say that Jesus was actually having a hard time healing this man. That's nonsense. To this point, the healing hadn't happened yet. Some would say that Jesus, there was such a struggle between the force of good and the force of evil, that the devil had done such a hard work that he was limiting. That's nonsense. That's not true. It wasn't early in the morning, and Jesus hadn't had his coffee yet, so Jesus didn't touch his eyes and then, oh, that didn't work, we better try something else. The miracle hadn't happened yet. He didn't have to get his hands warmed up and blow into his hands to get them all nice and warm. He didn't say, okay, that didn't work, let's see what else we got. Listen, we see from Jesus' own testimony, his own life, his own ministry, to this point, Jesus could have healed him without touching him. He could have healed him with a thought. And we've already mentioned, Jesus didn't even have to be in the same place to heal him at this point. But I would present to you in verse 24, the miracle hadn't happened yet. It hadn't even started yet. Well, look at verse number 25. After the examination, then we see the revelation. The miraculous happened. This time, when he looked up in his sick, faltering condition, his vision, which was clouded, now look what the Bible says in verse number 25. He was restored. It's just another image that he hadn't always been blind. You can't be restored to something you hadn't ever restored before. He saw every man clearly. This morning, I want us to understand that there's a spiritual application for us this morning. Because not only do we see a man in a critical condition, not only do we know that Christ is enough, Christ is more than enough to meet our needs, and He is the one who can, is capable of doing all things. But I think in this illustration, this example, this picture, we see a contemporary condition. We see a contemporary condition. What does that mean? Like, it's a spiritual condition that is still around today. So let's not miss what I believe the Lord is trying to teach us here. The Bible is giving us an example of a blind man as a living illustration of the spiritual condition of the disciples. And it's often the spiritual condition of those closest to him. You see, ever since they've been walking with the Lord Jesus Christ has been using one shocking, amazing, miraculous event after another to teach them that he was the Messiah, the very Son of God, the fulfillment of hundreds of prophecies. He was trying to teach them that. They had seen Jesus heal the sick. They'd seen him cast out demons. They'd seen him raise the dead. They'd seen him walk on water. And we're only in Mark chapter number 8. They'd seen him multiply bread and fish and many other powerful proofs of his deity, but they never got it. In fact, they wouldn't fully comprehend just who Jesus was until after he rose from the dead. So Jesus led his disciples to a place of spiritual blindness, to a place where they could see him clearly. He often dealt with our spiritual eyesight. If you look back at verse number 18, he had just told them, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, do ye not remember all the wonderful things he talked about? I think we learned some truths that we must understand and examine and apply this morning to our hearts and lives. I think we get a good picture from those friends that brought this man to Jesus of the necessity of intercession. This man had friends who cared for him. They recognized his condition. They besought the Lord. There's a simple truth called intercession. Intercession is the act of interceding between parties at variance with a view of reconciliation. It's a prayer to one party in favor of another. Andrew Murray said, God regards intercession as the highest expression of his people's readiness to receive and to yield themselves wholly to the working of his almighty power. He's reminding us, it's a good picture, reminding us that we can get a hold of the Lord for our wayward loved ones. We can get a hold of the Lord for those who are lost that the Lord has put on our hearts. But we won't if our vision is cloudy. When was the last time, church family, when was the last time that you begged, that you implored, that you prayed earnestly for those who were burdened for? Do we even really know what that means? Intercession is this. Intercession is a determined prayer, a desperate petition, desperate to get a hold of God. It's not demanding things of God, but taking our needs to the one who can truly do something about intercession. Oh, where would we be? Where would you be? Where would I be had that without those who had cared enough to share Jesus with us? Who had cared enough to intercede with the Lord for my salvation and for your salvation? Where would we be without someone who prayed for us in our wandering and our wasteful and our prodigal state? We have a wonderful opportunity and obligation, reminder to do the same thing for others, not to give up on those that you're praying for, not to give up on those that you're witnessing to, not to give up on those that you love and the Lord has burdened you for their spiritual condition. Don't give up. It reminds us of the necessity of intercession. He also reminds us about addressing a deteriorating condition. Remember, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 2, he tells us that we're all spiritually born blind. Due to the fall of man, we're born, the Bible says, all of sin, Romans 3:23 tells us. Unable to see the truths of the gospel, blinded by sin, unable to do anything about my condition, dead in trespasses and sin. But the Bible also reminds us in John 3:16, Romans 5:8, God sent his only begotten Son, the light of the world, the source of life, to shine the glorious light of the gospel into our lives. I'm thankful for the day that happened. My spiritual eyes were opened. And literally, Jesus turned our world upside down. Aren't you thankful for that day? And as we spend time as a newborn, a baby in Christ, as we spend time in his word and prayer, he begins to develop our spiritual law, our spiritual a spiritual sense, just like this blind man. We weren't always blind. The blind man, again, is a living illustration of the spiritual condition that's easy to fall into for those that are closest to him, closest to Jesus. How does it happen? When we get our eyes off of Jesus, we get them on this world, our needs, our agendas, we get comfortable. We fail to even realize the condition our needs are in until one day we're confronted with truth that our flesh doesn't like, and the Holy Spirit begins to examine our spiritual life. And if not treated, it changes how we see our world. It begins, listen, how can we know that there's something wrong with our spiritual eyes when we begin to see men as trees? Soulless, lifeless, pointless. One man said the greatest victory in the Christian life is when you win that victory, and you can begin to distinguish men from trees. Because we watch TV and don't think about those on TV as eternal souls headed somewhere forever. We pass by that cashier or that teller or that construction worker or whatever it is, fill in the blank, the person you work with, the person that sits across the aisle street, we just see them as a tree. We don't have a burden for that soul, understanding that soul will spend eternity somewhere. How can we tell there's something wrong? There's an issue that needs to be addressed. Well, it begins with how we see other people, how we see the lost. If not treated, we can grow cold and uncaring and apathetic and even angry. What are some things that thought were missing? Well, money, stuff, a relationship, a job, trials, temptations, addictions, prominence, position. Change how we see the world because we're more worried about how the world sees me. Jesus gives us a picture here as well, not just the need to address the deteriorating condition, but the necessity of separation and redirection. Believer, if your spiritual eyes are clouded over, if you develop a worldly worldview, if your eyes are not on Jesus and are on something else, desperate steps need to happen. We're not looking at things through the filter of Scripture. We're not looking at things with that eternal mindset. In order for our eyesight to be restored, there are some things that perhaps we must separate from. There's a direction that we must return to. Proverbs 37 tells us three things. We need to trust in the Lord and do good. We need to delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 4 says, verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. To have our vision restored means we have to get away. It means setting aside much of what this world says we need, whether it's a worldly relationship, whether it's internet, whether it's all the toys and tech and junk that this world says you need. What would we do? Listen, what would you do without the internet for a day? Or Netflix for a day, or your cell phone for a day, or video games for a day. Can you even imagine? You're wandering. You need to change direction. Maybe your time with the Lord has slipped, or maybe it's just non-existent. He's still there, he's still part, but he's not preeminent. I do that old church thing. It doesn't affect my walk. We're determining how we live our lives. By how we live our lives, we're determining what we really believe. Because belief always affects your behavior. So if we leave this place unchanged, uncaring, that tells us what you believe about what we do here. What we believe about what goes on in this place. What we believe about the Word of God. Perhaps in some lives this morning, there's a need of redirection. You've gotten off out of God's will for your life. There's a redirection. Perhaps there's some separation. Maybe it's from a person, maybe it's a thing, an item, a position, whatever it might be. Jesus took this man by the hand and led him away from the distractions to a place where his sight could be restored. Then he reminds us of the necessity of correction. The necessity of correction. Maybe you admit this morning that my walk with God isn't where it once was. My walk with God is not where it needs to be. And there's two responses this morning to that thought. My walk with God. you're pricked in your heart, and in your heart and your mind, you keep hearing something needs to change. Dress this destiny, you think. We must see our own need. We must recognize that we've wandered from the Lord. We must recognize that we've lost our burden for the lost. I don't think this world needs to be turned upside down. I think it does. Here's the quote I paraphrased briefly. It says, a large part of the battle of life has been fought and gained when one has learned the difference between a man and a tree. Or maybe some here today, this morning, maybe you've got your eyes off of the things of God. They're on everything else. Maybe they're on important things, but they're not on the most important. Wait until this moment. Give you the title for the message this morning. And it's this question. What do you see? What do you see? Believer, maybe the Spirit of God has revealed your condition to you in life. Maybe it's just telling you you're worldly. It's revealing you where you're actually at in your spiritual growth. Or maybe he's reminding us this morning, praise the Lord, maybe he's reminding that you're growing and that you're mature and that there are things in your life that will draw you away. Maybe the Lord spoke in your heart today. Maybe this morning there's some here today, maybe you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. Maybe he's dealing with your heart, he's been dealing with your heart, leading you to him, leading you to that point, of that moment of salvation. It may be that the Lord has been trying to call you to himself. Maybe he's opened your eyes of your heart this morning. And you've seen yourself as a sinner that's headed to hell. And you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope of salvation. That he's the only payment for your sin. If you've seen the truth, you stand in need of a Savior today. He's calling today. He's calling you to make these changes. Don't wait. Don't delay. As we stand together this morning, would you stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed? And it's time to make a response to these things this morning. I certainly hope not. I didn't prepare in thinking that someone had this issue, but maybe today, maybe this morning, the Lord has revealed to you. My eyes are not what it once was. Cloudy. There's many different things clouding my vision, my walk with God this morning. There's many things that are hindering me from a correct biblical outlook. I don't see people as eternal souls headed somewhere after this life is over. Headed somewhere forever. The Bible tells us without the Lord Jesus Christ, that the only destination without the Lord Jesus Christ is hell. Rejecting Jesus Christ leads to separation in hell. Maybe we don't see people as lost and sinners as we should. Maybe there are things in your life, perhaps this morning you need to surrender to the Lord. You can give up. Or I can live without social media, or I can live without this job if it keeps me from my family, my faith, my church, whatever it is, or I can live without that, whatever it is, a relationship, or toys, or trinkets, whatever it might be. Heavenly Father, be with these few moments as we examine our hearts honestly and openly before you. May you work in our heart. I'm thankful for the day that you saved me, and I'm thankful that you offer salvation to whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm thankful for that. Thank you for that. I know there have been times in my life where I needed to be drawn back. I needed to have my spiritual eyesight cleared. I needed to have my vision free from the instructions, the things that I've